I want to use an illustration this morning of a puzzle. And I want to talk about vision for a minute. Do we ever think about what our vision is? Personally, just what is your vision personally? I don't know that most people really think much about that. I mean, you get some of the greats that, you know, they talk about vision, you know, John Maxwell is a famous leadership author, and you know, it's all about vision and things. And guys like that, clearly, they've got vision, and they have a way of sharing that. But I think oftentimes, us normal people, we lack sometimes a vision for what we're doing. Once in a while, we might think of some goals, and at the beginning of the year, we might make some resolutions. But why do so many fail to keep those resolutions or achieve those goals every year? Perhaps we fail to have a clear idea of the bigger vision, where that fits in the bigger vision of what we're doing. One doesn't just diet for the sake of dieting, right? Does anyone here diet because they like to diet? No, you diet because you have, hopefully, a vision of a healthier, a lighter, you have this vision of who you want to be because of that. The vision that we have has to be valuable enough to us to endure the hardship that's going to be faced as we try to achieve that vision. When we lose sight of that vision, the work of reaching it becomes more of a drudgery than it's worth. And it's easy to give up when difficult times hit. Oftentimes in our life, our visions are very limited or non-existent in our personal lives. We trudge through life handling one crisis after another with little sense of where we're trying to go if we do. We just get so bogged down in the stuff of life that we can lose sight of any kind of a vision. We may also just lack a vision of who we are, who we want to become, and where we're headed. Without that clear vision and a plan to move forward, we're set up for infighting, for lethargy, for disillusionment, and other self-destructive problems. As Christians, we need a vision, as it were, from God as to where He is taking us, who He is making us to be, and what He's doing with us. So, how do we discern what God is doing? That's a $64,000 question, isn't it? I can imagine that probably everyone in this room at some point in their life has asked that question of themselves and what's going on in their personal lives. What is God doing? We've been asking that for a long time here at Hills Bible Church. What is God doing? So how do we figure that out? This morning I want to think in terms of Hills Bible Church. But the principles apply just as much to our personal lives and to the way each of us personally discovers how Christ is dealing with us, how He's leading us. The question that we need to ask as a church and as individual parts of the church is, where is Christ as the head of the body telling us to go as we grow individually and as a church? This morning I'm going to use the example, the illustration of a puzzle. I'm getting ahead of myself on this PowerPoint. When you put a puzzle together, Sherry, you and David probably saw this here yesterday and thought, what in the world is there a puzzle in front of you? But when you put a puzzle together, how many of you have done puzzles? Good, everyone's done puzzles. Have you ever tried to put a puzzle together just with a pile of parts? No box? No picture? It can be done, but it's really tough, right, David? They think it's a lot of fun. Most of us probably aren't necessarily that gung-ho about puzzles, right? We want the box, right? We want to see the big picture. Now, this picture here is of Mission Santa Barbara, California. So, this puzzle is a picture of this
I'm assuming a Catholic mission in Santa Barbara, California.
That's how we describe this puzzle. Now, as we begin to assemble this puzzle, if you're like me, you look at this little tiny part and you go, it looks like it goes right about there. Does anyone else see that? I'm not the only one, right? That's kind of how we look at, okay, here's this little tiny thing. And these puzzle pieces are small. And this puzzle comes out to be 26 inches by 20 inches. There's 1,000 pieces like this to make something about this big. It's a lot of little pieces. And they make them smaller than this, too. And puzzles bigger. And so it's a challenge to figure out where all these pieces go. And we'll look at this box many times as we put these pieces together. And you might think eventually you get this puzzle memorized as much as you look at it, especially if it's got a lot of pieces. But you still end up going back to this box, this picture, to see what it's going to be. I think part of our challenge right now as a church, and oftentimes in our personal lives, is understanding what the big picture is. What are we doing? Again, whether it's in the church, like the church, or our personal lives, what is the big picture of where we're trying to go? Where does this little piece fit in the big picture? From the scriptures, we get some very broad pictures of what the church should look like, and what our lives as followers of Jesus Christ would be. So let's look first this morning at the box, the scriptures. For the purposes of this message, we're going to be examining how it deals with the church, and specifically the Bible church. But even as a Christian, if indeed you are a Christian, you're called and designed by the Holy Spirit to fit into Christ by the church, like a little tiny piece of the puzzle. And so, though this may not seem at first to apply to your everyday decisions, in the bigger picture of your life in Christ, it certainly does. Because you're a piece of the puzzle that fits into the puzzle of the church. And so every decision that you make affects how it plugs into, how you plug into, fit into the church, and how the church assimilates that. There's also just the general principle that we're going to be looking at this morning, the general principle of how we make decisions as a church, but also as individuals. The first verse this morning we've already read. We read it in Sunday school, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That scripture should be very familiar to us. Many times the church will put that, they'll display that someplace in the building, and it's a good idea because it keeps us on track. That's the big picture. Making disciples is the big picture. So we talked about in Sunday school this morning. By the way, if you were wondering where that lesson came from, I sat down at 9:20 at my desk and looked over at a bookshelf and go, "Hey, that looks like a good book." And it was about making disciples. And that is the overall picture of what we are to do in the church. We know that. We see the smaller aspects of that. How Jesus said to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them. He said, "By the way, I'm going to be with you always." And then, of course, we read in Luke that in Luke's account of Acts 1, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you not many days hence, and you're going to receive power." And so we know that this is the big picture, making disciples. Now there are many aspects of that. Kind of like we see the big picture of making disciples. It's like looking at this
this box of this church, this mission in Santa Barbara, California. That's the big picture of the church. But we look at all the pink of those azaleas, with really bright flowers there. It's bordered by a couple trees, there's some sky in the background. We see these various aspects of this big picture. So it is with the big picture of making disciples as a church. There are various aspects that go into this. And there's a few of them that I'm going to give this morning from the scriptures. And that's what all those verses are we have listed there. First one is building unity. That's an important aspect of the church life. We see it in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25 to 26. It says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That lack of division in the body. All members have the same care, having the same care for one another. I think this is a church that has historically, for as long as I have known, been a church that feels that way. When one member suffers, everyone suffers. When one member is going through a hard time, we all feel that pain. The same way, like in our lives, right? When you're sick, it may only be one part of you that's sick, but you feel it all over. So it is in church. That's unity. When we can experience, when we experience the difficulty that someone else is going through because of our deep love for them, which is something that Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. He says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also must you forgive. And above all these things, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you have been called in one body, and be thankful." So part of that building of unity is compassion and kindness and meekness and humility and forgiveness. I think in the coming weeks we're going to begin to unpack some of these passages in Scripture because there's so much in them that we can't do justice to in a few minutes. So we get this, that's the bigger picture of this unity. It's like one section of the puzzle, this building of unity. Another section is sound teaching. It's one of the things that we really strive for in Sunday school. Colossians, again, chapter 3, verse 16, Paul goes on to say, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Let Christ's word dwell in you richly. How does that happen? Through teaching. Through admonishing one another. And also, he says, in singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts. As we sang this morning, and I'm so thankful for the piano and Sherry's leadership in music. I don't know how churches do it a cappella, but anyway. As we sang together, that was an act of worship with thankfulness in our hearts for what He has done, what God has done. And guess what? Even in the songs, there is teaching. I don't care whether they're the old hymns that are hundreds of years old or the brand new songs that are only a few years old. There is teaching in those songs. If there isn't, we probably shouldn't be singing them. Teaching is an important aspect of the church. And Paul also says in 1 Timothy 4:13,
talking to Timothy, this young preacher, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. It's important. Paul also says in Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. That's a whole lot of stuff there. Verse 15 says, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. All those things in verses 12 through 14, he says, teach them, declare them, exhort and rebuke with authority. Based on God's Word. Based on the teaching, Paul says, that I'm giving you right now. So we see sound teaching as one of the pieces of the puzzle. And there's plenty of other scriptures over just a few. Another one of the pieces of the puzzle is encouraging and strengthening, which goes hand in hand. In fact, the reality of it is, much like a puzzle, all of these pieces are interconnected. They don't exist by themselves. They fit in together. So the encouraging and strengthening fits in with unity and fits in with sound teaching. We see in the book of Acts multiple occasions where this is emphasized. Well, as far as that goes, throughout the scriptures we see it. But in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 23, I'm going to start at verse 19 because we need to get a little bit of context here. Because it really adds to the meaning of verses 21 to 23. But Judas came from Antioch and Iconium, having persecuted the crowd, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. Now this is Paul. He's just been stoned to death. He gets up. He goes back into the town that he's just been drug out of and stoned in. It's kind of like, and Luke just kind of like, matter of fact, he gets up and goes back into town, no big deal. And then the next day he goes to another town, undaunted. In verse 21, when they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, where he had just come from and been stoned, and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. When they appointed elders to them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Paul had been stoned to death. But he knew it was critical for the church to have encouragement and strengthening so much that he went back to that town to encourage them again. And while he's there, recognizing he can't stay there, he sets up elders, he sets up leaders in the church to continue that encouragement and that strengthening. It was vital to the early church, and it's vital to us. I'm going to read real quickly several other instances where Paul talks about the encouragement. Colossians 4:8 says, I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And Paul sends this messenger to Colossians to encourage them. He knows they need this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 and 5. Paul says, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in the faith. Verse 5, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Paul says, I sent an encourager because I knew, I was concerned that you were going to fall. way. I know we need encouragement. So do we.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he begins to close this letter out. Says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. There's a sense in which Paul can send a Timothy in for a boost. But they need that all the time. And they need it from each other. Which is exactly what it says in Hebrews chapter 3. Whoever wrote that book, we're not sure. But in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Paul warned, or whoever, warned in Hebrews, watch out for an unbelieving heart. You need to be encouraged, you need to be exhorted every day. Besides, remember we talked about this Friday night with the teenagers, right? This is the verse that we used. Remember we had this conversation? It was 13 of us. And young people. And I said, you guys need this encouragement more than once a week. And it's no different for us as adults, by the way. We need encouragement more than once a week. We need it every day. Because every day there's something that's going to come at us. It's going to cause us to want to give up. Regardless of how big our vision is. And I can't not read Hebrews 10:23-25. I read this one often, quote it often. I don't normally read verse 23, but it says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another, to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need that. And all the more as things get difficult. Tribulations will come. It's a promise. They're going to come. I said earlier today, if you want to experience spiritual oppression, come be part of the Bible Church. It doesn't matter if you're part of Bill's Bible Church or some other church. If you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, and if you're going to follow Him, you are going to experience tribulation. And thus you need exhortation and encouragement. One final piece of the puzzle is active participation of the members, which has many facets in and of itself. There's two passages in Scripture that use the illustration of the Bible, of the body as the body of Christ, and one of them is Romans 12. I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. It says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace that is given us, underline this, let us use them. And they list all the gifts. Key phrase in there is, let us use them. That's discipleship. That's how we make disciples. We use our gifts. And that's two meanings to that. It grows us as we use our gift, but it also grows others as we use our gifts. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, again, writing about the body, says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and miracles, and gifts of healing, helping, ministering, and other various kinds of tongues.
So we list these things. Again, the emphasis being, you are members of the body. By virtue of that, you must be active. Right? Is there a member of your body that's not active? Your physical body. Is there a member that's not active? No. It's all active by virtue of the fact that it's part of your body. So, what do we do as a church? Perhaps there's better illustrations of this. I could have used the body as Paul, but that's a really good illustration. But I chose to use the puzzle this morning because of the effort involved in studying the big picture. Looking at the box, as it were. And then trying to look at all the pieces that are there and figure out where they fit. I believe God has given us some pieces with which to work here at Build Bible Church. And they fit together to make a complete church that's designed to function, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them as Jesus goes with us. So now we've examined the box, as it were. We've seen the big picture and several of the aspects of it. Let's dump out the pieces and see what we have. I have to use an illustration. I want to see this. And I discovered this table downstairs is perfect. It's just low enough where you can all see it. We just looked at the box, the Bible. Now, as a church, and I realize it's getting late, but hang with me. We need to dump out the pieces. I don't know where we got this puzzle. And originally I was a little concerned because this isn't going to work. I don't have 1,000 pieces to dump on the table. Someone assembled this puzzle and then put it back in the box in large sections. And as I thought about it, I thought, that's actually helpful to have it like that. Because there's overlap in these parts. We've already talked about that. And I think we as a church have several pieces of ministry that are currently being assembled, or we're trying to figure them out, trying to put them together. Ministries that are being developed or implemented. I said this morning in Sunday school, right now, as a church, we basically have a clean slate. We don't have any traditions that we have to stick with. I mean, we don't have an Awanas program that we're just trying to keep this Awanas program going. We're just trying to keep this program going. We don't have anything like that. We are a completely clean slate. What are we doing? What are the pieces? Some of the pieces are fit together already. We have a worship service. We have a Sunday school. And we're trying to get some things going with that. But what are these pieces? Sometimes they fit together more obviously than others. But I'll just real quickly as I can, go through some of the pieces of the puzzle that I perceive we have at Village Bible Church. One of the first things I want to talk about is the Sunday school, new Sunday school material that we're looking at right now. The story, which starts next Sunday. That is, of course, designed to do what? That fits in the bigger section of sound teaching. Right? We're going to go through the whole Bible. We're going to obviously not get every little detail, but we're going to see the big picture of the Bible and get an understanding of how God works and who He is and draw closer to Him in that. And then February the 7th, we're still planning a seminar on growing food in small spaces. We did one in December, emergency preparedness. And these fit kind of in a broader category of helping people to meet Bill's Bible Church, to meet, get to know us, who we are, see what we have to offer. Also of meeting real needs in the community and being practical with the gospel, but also being an integral part of the community. Now, all of those things, kind of that section, those little pieces that I've just listed there, fit into the bigger picture of going out with the gospel, right? Making disciples, making new disciples, finding them, meeting them. Some outside the church. I'm going to skip over the sermons. We all know about the sermons online. Again, although I do want to mention this, it's interesting that as of yesterday morning, the sermon that was posted to the website had been downloaded more times than there were people at church last Sunday. So even that fits in this category of sound teaching and also reaching out beyond the four corners of this building. And we have a ladies' Bible study that's been happening in the cave in the Bible. We're going to start another one next month. Again, that need of sound teaching and exhortation, but also reaching beyond the four corners of the building. And I think also included in that is a unity of the church and an exhortation and encouragement. All of those things go into that one little piece. Can you see how it's not one little piece, but it's many tied together? Also, we'll be looking at new home Bible studies in the future that may grow out of this Sunday school lesson that we're doing. For the sake of sound teaching and reaching beyond the walls. And an expanded music ministry. Craig has been trying since he came to expand the music ministry. He wants to have a team that goes out and does music somewhere else. That's his passion. I think God can use that. And Sherry's been working closely with these kids. And it's like Sherry's been this dormant Sunday school teacher just waiting for an opportunity. Boom, here it is. And she jumped in there. And so there's this new children's ministry developing. Another piece of the puzzle we didn't even know we had. Debbie and Melissa have worked faithfully with them. And have done well. And they're working now with the older ones as Sherry takes the younger ones. And we have younger ones. It's neat to see how these pieces are coming out. Also have the youth game nights out at the camp on Friday nights. And I described that during the prayer time, how God is using that, how God is enabling her, growing that with seemingly almost to the point where there's Friday nights for hires, so just do not go. You know? But they're calling me and saying, hey, what's going on? And I think that God can use that. That's another piece of the puzzle, right? What does that fit? That fits under, hopefully, sound teaching. And also active participation of these younger members, the youth. I'm also starting to take a couple of the church and family game nights. Forgot about that one. I've had people from outside the church talking about the game nights they used to have years ago. And how they loved that. And I think that's one thing that builds church unity. Those activities that we do, whether it's a game night or a movie night or going out caroling, those are things that build unity in the body. And so we pursue those.
taking youth to visit nursing homes. You can see that doing sound teaching and reaching outside the church and discipleship. I'm just going to try to hurry through these last ones. We have this large missions team coming to the camp in the first week of June. Great opportunity that could be used, that could be a piece of the puzzle that fits into sound teaching and reaching out beyond the four corners of the church. One thing about a puzzle, though, is that sometimes you get a piece that you just can't seem to get to fit anywhere. Ever had that? Of course you have. If you put a puzzle together at all, you get this one piece, and you go, hey, that's got blue on it. That should fit in the sky. There isn't a little bit of green, but it doesn't connect to a tree. Where does it fit? And you go, it doesn't fit there, it doesn't fit there, it doesn't fit there. What are you doing? Do you throw it away? No, you don't throw it away. Because you know that at some point, when other pieces of the puzzle fit together, that's going to go. And you go, oh, that's the one I was looking for. Right? Don't throw a piece away because it doesn't fit now. It will fit. God hasn't put pieces in this puzzle that aren't going to fit. That is a promise, I guarantee you. He has not put any puzzle pieces in this church that aren't going to fit. They may not fit now, but they will fit. He has a plan for it. And so, we put them on the shelf, and we go, oh man. And all the time we're looking for, where does this piece fit? How does this piece fit into the big picture of making disciples in this church? In what section does it fit? Now there's the one example of scripture I can think of, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. The life of Joseph. You talk about a guy that had a lot of pieces that didn't seem to fit. Joseph was this guy. He had all these, why is this? Why am I getting thrown in the well? Why am I getting sold into slavery? Why am I getting put in prison? Why is this guy not telling the Pharaoh my dream? Why? What are all these pieces? They don't make any sense. They don't connect. I think sometimes that's where, in our personal lives and in life of the church, we go, I don't get it. What's this piece and this piece and this piece? What do they have to do with each other? And finally, all at once, they begin to fit together. And in the life of Joseph, we see God working beyond just this little piece of Joseph. This is all Joseph could see. His little piece. And all of a sudden, those pieces fit together and become part of this beautiful picture that God is painting. Not just for Israel, but for the world. So how do we put our pieces together? We try to put a puzzle together on a carpet. You could probably do it on this carpet because it's short carpet. But regular shag carpet or your bed? You ever try to put a puzzle together on your bed? Does it work real well, Angela? Oh, why? What happens? The pieces come apart as you try to put the next one in. All the earth doesn't fall out. I've been trying to emphasize to everyone over the past couple of weeks the importance of praying together. And I hope you're doing that. I want us to develop a regular habit of prayer together. Because I see prayer as a table upon which we assemble this puzzle. And when we try to start putting pieces together off the table without prayer, they're destined to come apart. They're destined to fail. Because we've neglected the foundation of prayer. We can have a great understanding of the Bible and the big picture. And that's necessary. But if we have failed to lay the foundation of prayer, we're going to struggle to keep the pieces together.
prayer is vital to the church. And I think over this church and its history, there's two things that I see that have been woven into the fabric of this church that we're experiencing right now. One is vital. This church has woven into its fabric a love for the Scriptures and an honor of the Scriptures and doing what they say and understanding them. That's been woven in the fabric. Another thing is this church is focused on missions. This church is very unique in that respect, in the way it supports and communicates with its missionaries. As tiny as we are, those missionaries don't have any idea what's going on here. They don't know there's only 10 people here or whatever there is this morning. All they know is that there's a church in Arkansas that's praying for them. That's there for them. That will communicate with them. That asks them every week, what's going on in your mission? That was woven into the fabric of this church years ago. And we reap the benefits of it. Now, where's it going with this? Well, there's unrelated facts. I want us, as the small body that we are, to weave into our fabric prayer. So that the Village Bible Church 10 years from now is a church that has prayer woven into its very fabric. And that, by the way, happens in our personal lives first. Because we're not going to care about praying together if we're not praying on our own. We need to do both. So, as we, as a church, try to figure out what is the vision that Christ has for His church. Who is the head of His church? By the way, it's not me. I don't want anything to do with that. Christ is the head of His church. If you're looking to the pastor for vision, you're looking in the wrong place. You need to be looking to Jesus for the vision. I need to be looking to Jesus for the vision. And as we as a church together look to the head, as individual body parts, looking to the head, for what is the vision? What are you doing in this church? As we look at all the different pieces, how do they fit together? Jesus, what are you doing? Jesus, what is your design? What is your vision for this church, for the ministry of this church? We know we're supposed to make disciples. We know that. We know we need unity, sound teaching, participation of the members, and all these things. We need these things. We know that. Now, where do these pieces fit? Where does this piece fit, Jesus? And what is it? How does it accomplish the big vision? So, in the coming weeks, we're going to be working together to pray and seek our Lord's vision. Village Bible Church. Right now, I'm working on a series of messages and assignments that will guide us in this process. And your first assignment is going to be to help us gather all the pieces. I've compiled a survey that I would like for each of you to look at. And I don't know if this is a normal thing or an appropriate thing, but I'm going to do it. We're going to find out how it goes. I want each of you to look at this survey because I don't claim to have the perspective on what Village Bible Church is. Well, who is here and what gifts God has given you. But I want you guys to take this thing home. Pray about it, first of all. Build that foundation of prayer. Asking God what your part is. I know one of the things that I asked on here is for you to describe your spiritual gifts and your practical physical gifts. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, you may not even know what a spiritual gift is. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 kind of lay a lot of those out. But maybe you don't know what that is. Right now you don't know. Because if I find out there's a whole lot of people here that don't know what their spiritual gifts are, don't have a clue what they are, then that's something we need to focus on. And we're going to focus on. I'm not asking you to put your name on this or try to... I'm not looking for who said what. I just want to get an idea of what God is doing here. And I think that as you share your passions and your giftings and your callings, I'm going to give you two of these, Debbie, for... That we'll be able to see more of the pieces. Like we're dumping the puzzle out on the table and seeing all the pieces. And as we pray, as church leaders and as a church, begin to see, what is God doing? How do these pieces fit together? We've got this piece over here and this piece over here. Don't seem related. They may not connect. They may be on separate portions of the puzzle. But God has put every single person in this church for a purpose and a calling. I know that. That's what we just read in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. It's clear from Scripture He did that. God also is the one that puts them together. I don't want to try to overstep our bounds in the church. God puts pieces together. But we have a role in that. We have a responsibility in that, in asking Him and seeking Him, seeking the head. So, take that home this week and pray about it. I have a box here which I will put in the back so that next week you can put those in there. And that is, you do have 1 week. We're not going to draw this out over weeks and months and things. Debbie, I know that you guys are going to be gone next Sunday. If you want to drop them by or email them, whatever. And that goes for everyone else. And probably what I'm going to do is I'm going to email this out to everyone else who wasn't here, because we only have a few of the pieces here right now. And it's kind of hard to get an idea of how those pieces fit together if you don't have them all. So I'm going to close in prayer this morning. And we'll go out from here wondering what God is doing. God, I just thank You for Your Word, for the promises that it has for us. Lord, I thank You for the fact that You do gift us and call us to be active disciples of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that we were responsible with that, that we would seek You on our own each day. As we read Your Word, not doing it to check a box, when we've read Your Word, but doing it to hear from You. To pray, not doing it because the pastor said to, but because we want to communicate with You, because we know that it glorifies You. We know that it draws us to You. We know that it's powerful. God, I pray that You would move in the hearts of each one who's here this morning and draw them to Yourself. Encourage them. Strengthen them. And Lord, give us a sense of what Your vision is for Village Bible Church and what our individual parts are in it. In Jesus' name.